Thank you for listening to this Calvary Apostolic Church podcast. We believe this message will be a blessing to you. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to join us for worship in the near future. God bless you.
He's been gone at least, I believe, the last two Father's Day. So this would be the third in a row that he's missed, and I miss him on Father's Day. But I give him honor. He's a fantastic father. And to some of you as well, we've shared him, and it's been our honor to do so. Thank you so much for loving our father. Heidi, Jamie, and I have been honored to share him with this church body. And it falls on me this morning to deliver the word of the Lord, and I believe God has spoken to me. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. And I just want to read one portion of scripture to you this morning out of the seventh verse. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I'd like to preach to you this morning on this subject, thou shalt teach them diligently. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Would you lay down your Bible or whatever may be in your hand that could distract you? Lift up your hands and ask God to help you to receive the word of the Lord as He anoints me to preach it. Lord God, I pray that Your anointing would fall in this house this morning. I'm asking You, Lord God, that the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost would fall on this house this morning, that we would receive what You would desire to speak to us this morning. And I pray that You would help me to preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's in this building this morning. Anoint my lips of clay to deliver Your powerful word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I believe this is my third consecutive Father's Day message to the church, and I do feel somewhat redundant to again present the challenge to every father here that you are an absolute necessity to your family. Dad, you are a necessity to your family. Father, you are a necessity to your children and to your home. You're a necessity to the church. We cannot make it without strong father figures in this world and in our lives. We have got to have you. To say your family needs you now more than ever is a gross understatement. Dad, as I read the news articles and watch the decline of human values, I see your role is increasingly more difficult with every passing day. There is an active movement in our world to eradicate the need for the role of father in our families. And I am here to stand in the face of that movement this morning. Margaret Mead, an anthropologist of the 1900s, said, and I quote, "Fathers are a biological necessity, but a psychological absurdity," end quote. That is the most asinine statement I've read in quite some time. I cannot tell you that my blood level went from the temperature that it normally is to well over 212 when I read that. There was steam coming out of my ears when I read her foolish words that fathers are an absurdity. We have got to have fathers involved in children's lives. Dad, we need you. Dad, we must have you. Dad, you're a necessity. We've got to have you. Dad, your job's not over at conception. Your job is never over. You've got to constantly be involved in our lives. We've constantly got to have your input and your godly help and wisdom in our lives. We need you, Dad. We need you. What a godless and anti-biblical statement Mrs. Meads made that day. She quoted that in a speech she gave. Education, media, and other non-scriptural outlets constantly diminish the role of father in our lives. Dads, you're not just a breadwinner and a handyman or the disciplinary of your family, but you are a vital part of the role bringing strength and stability into the home. Both mom and dad bring ingredients into a home that are crucial to the spiritual and emotional stability of a home. Together they bring the masculinity and the femininity that reveal the real image of God. Take half of those ingredients out and the end result is out of balance. That's why dad must not disengage when it comes to every area of family. That's why dad has to stay involved and mom and dad work together. Dads, I'll say it again, you are an absolute necessity to your family. They cannot make it without you. They cannot fulfill the full plan of God without you. Dad, we gotta have you. The decay of families started somewhere around the 1960s in America when different radical movements pushed back against the family structure. It started in the 1960s, and I want to read to you the statistics that have happened since the family structure started to be put into decay based on these movements. Since 1963, violent crimes have increased over 500%. Illegitimate births have increased 400%. Divorces have increased 400%. Children living in a single parent home have increased 300%. And teenage suicide has increased 200%. SAT scores have dropped 80 points despite large increases in support of education. America is in a crisis today because the God-given blueprint for family structure that was found in the Word of God in Genesis with Adam and Eve, a man and a woman, has been rearranged and in some ways eliminated. We must make sure our family blueprint matches that which we find in the Word. If we're going to live the salvation plan of Acts, we should live the family process in the family position and the family plan of God's Word. We cannot get away from it and be blessed. We cannot rearrange it and be blessed. But we have got to have the family in the order that God designed it to be in. The moral and spiritual condition of the society in which we live always finds its offspring in the family. We cannot allow this world around us to overtake us. It will take fathers, and it'll take mothers, and it'll take children to stand up for family values in face of what the world tries to put on you, in face of the agenda that the world tries to press in your face, and what you learn at school and college, and what your friends have tried and their families have tried. You must make sure that your family blueprint matches that which is found in the Word of God. It's not just dad's responsibility this morning to make sure his family matches the blueprint. But mom has to help, and the children have to support. Mom and dad, you get to teach your children, but sometimes they have their own free will and they do their own thing, much to your dismay. But if you set forth the blueprint and you instill in them from a young age, this is what the Word says, and this is what the family's going to do, and we're going to model our family after the Word. If you start when they're young, if you start when they're still in the toddler class, to teach them the Word and instill the Word in them, it's easier for them to keep the Word the older they get. If you allow the world around them to shape their views, and you allow the world around them to shape their thought process, that's going to be the one they follow. But if you get in their ear before they grow up, if you get in their ear before you think they're paying attention, and you just let them know daddy loves mommy, and mommy loves daddy, and we love you, and we're here to support you no matter what. We're behind you, children. We're here to support everything you want to be involved in that's godly. Let them know, hey, There's no life outside of the church. There's no life outside of the plan of God. There's only destruction and death. You've got to let your children know, hey, there's life in the Word. There's life in the church. Not every family's perfect. In fact, no family's perfect. Every family has flaws because we're human. But the best thing to strive to be is a family after the plan of God. It might have flaws and we might make mistakes, but we're better off when we take the plan and the blueprint of God than when we make our own agenda. Lean not unto your own understanding. We've got to acknowledge God in all of our ways. We can't restructure half the plan of God and hope to be wholly saved. Contrary to the book written by former First Lady Hillary Clinton, it does not take a village to raise a child. My dad would be so proud of that statement. He's a political guru and I'm just a novice, but that frustrates me because my parents did not put me on the streets of Jewett, Ohio and hope the neighborhood raised me right. Now they did give most people in town the license to whip me, but not raise me. When I was in school, my teacher had a permission slip that she could spank me before I got home. Mrs. Amos, with her nasty red worn-off lipstick, did it in the first grade, bent me over her knee in front of the whole class. And then when I got home, my dad did the same. It was a 2-for-1 deal. I got two. They each got one. It does not take a whole village to raise a child. It takes mom and dad. The blueprint found in the Word. Adam and Eve raised Cain and Abel. Abraham and Sarah raised Isaac. And Joseph and Mary raised Jesus. It takes mom and dad. Both influences, both inputs, both sides of the spectrum to raise the child. Fathers today are experiencing the hardships of leading a family in the paths of righteousness while staring in the face a world full of wickedness. It's an uphill battle. But a safe family is worth every prayer, every struggle, every tough conversation, every tear and every trial, every correction and every pat on the back. Your children are absolutely worth it, Dad. Mom, your children are absolutely worth you supporting Dad's decisions. Though the struggle is real, it is still the design of God that fathers lead their families in spiritual ways. The Bible gives clear direction as to what children need to learn at an early age. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, chapter number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. There's a blessing in following after the commandments of God, that your days might be prolonged. I want prolonged days. I don't want my day to come too quickly. I don't want my days to be cut short, but I want to follow after the Word of God so that my days can be prolonged, that my family can be prolonged, that my blessing can be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee and that ye may increase mightily. There's a blessing in following the Word of God. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Probably one of the most popular oneness scriptures ever quoted. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's where you start with those babies. If your children can't recite one TV show, but they can get Deuteronomy 6:4 down in their heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Your baby better be able to stick one finger up and say, hey, we just serve one God. If they know to say that they're one or two or three or four or five, you ought to ask them the next question, how many gods are there? And they should be able to just say, just one God, Daddy. Just one God, Mommy. Just one God. There's only one. A And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. There's no way to get them in your heart until you pass them through the ears. Until you let them read them. And so if your child can yet read, why don't you quote it to them when they get up in the morning? Listen, honey, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Daddy, tell your children, there's no other God like our God. There's no other God other than our God. We just serve one God, baby. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Through the voice of Moses, God speaks to the children of Israel that they need to teach their children these important values. God said there are times in which you should teach your children. When you sit in your house, when you're out and about, when you lay down, and when you rise up. It's just four simple times. It's easy. When you're out, when you're in, you lay down, when you get up. That's all you got to remember. If you look at that with real intellectual mind and from a very intellectual perspective, God didn't really leave any moments out. He kind of covered it all. Dad, your children are constantly going to be learning from something and somewhere. Who's it going to be from? Is it going to be from you? Or are you going to allow the world and the agenda of the world to just constantly just put things and deposit things into your kid's spirit? I hear a child say something, or I observe them do something, and I ask their parents where they learned that, and the most common response is, I have no idea. While in some ways this is cute and harmless, there is a principle we cannot ignore and overlook. Children are constantly looking to learn something new. Their minds are blank books, and the pages of them are being constantly filled by what is around them. What they see, what they hear, what they touch, what they taste. If their minds are filled with godliness, they will be more likely to resist unrighteousness. But if we allow a carnal world to shape them, they may never see. We may never see them walk in the paths of righteousness. My grandpa Stark passed away when my dad was 12 years old, and that left a great void, the father role in my dad's life. Dad lived across the street from a feed store in a small town of Jewett, Ohio. And he started to work there for a man named Pete Scott. And Pete taught him a lot of great things. And he started to work for Pete. In fact, in my dad's early teenage years, as early as 14, my dad drove a semi around the county delivering feed. Pete was a great role model. He told a 14-year-old to drive a semi and deliver things. Pete sold the feed store and he bought a farm a few miles out of town. And my earliest memories, my dad worked part-time at the church in Jewett, and then his other more leftover time he spent at the farm. Almost all of my memories prior to moving to Columbus are centered around the farm and the life that Dad and I shared with Pete Scott. Dad took me to the farm more days than not, and when I started kindergarten, that was a hassle because I had a major scheduling conflict. So much so that I told my teacher I probably wouldn't make it to school some days because we had too much hay to bale before it rained. I came home from the farm one day and it was just Mom and I in the house, and I said, Mom, can I say what Pete said? She said, yes. And I rattled off a string of words, most of which only had four letters. And she was shocked and looked at me and said, Jimmy, always ask me before you say what Pete says. I was between the ages of 5 and 7 when this happened, and yet I was listening and learning everything that was going on around me. We didn't move here until I was 8. But yet when Pete would talk, as good of a man as he was, he didn't walk in the ways of righteousness. And so there were things that came out of his mouth that my dad probably didn't want me to hear, and my mom certainly didn't want me to repeat. But I was learning. I was taking it in. And what you take in comes out. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if you're able to quote more statistics about what's going on in the world than you are scriptures, there's a problem. We're out of balance. And so if we're teaching our things more ways of the world and more ways to get ahead in life than we are scriptural things, then our children are going to be out of balance. Colton Underhill learned the sign language alphabet by watching YouTube videos. If you ask him, he may spell them out for you. And if you tell him your name, he'll do that for you in sign language as well. Some of your kids have used the same website to learn dance moves that would shock you. You should check in on that. Not everything that happens on YouTube is educational. Well, it is educational, excuse me. It's not profitable education. I am, thank you. When God spoke through Moses in Deuteronomy 6, there was no high school lunch table. There was no internet. There was no YouTube. There was no Instagram, Facebook, school bus, or any of those kinds of places for children to learn new things. But there was a world much the same. There was sin. Sin has not changed. It's still wrong. It's changed in form. It's changed in idea. But it's not changed. Sin is still sin. It doesn't matter if it's one sin, a small sin, a big sin. Sin is sin. The agenda of the world is to reconstruct your child's mind to their idea. But God's idea has never changed. The Word of God has never changed. Let the world spin what they want. But this Word has stood the test of time. God never had to go back and rewrite what was written thousands of years ago. The world constantly rewrites. And we go in circles because there's nothing new. This Word isn't new, but this Word has remained relevant when nothing else stayed relevant. There were people in that day who sacrificed and worshiped at the bases of idols, and God did not want Israel to raise a generation of children that did not know that there was only one true God. As much as that was important in the time in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, we must not raise an ignorant generation now. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. We've got to teach the laws. We've got to teach the principles. We've got to teach the love. We've got to teach the forgiveness unto our children diligently. Scripture says, and thou shalt teach thy children. Moses got the word from God and delivered it to the people of God for them to deliver it to their children. It was not the responsibility of Moses to teach the children. It was the responsibility of the fathers in the home to make sure their home was learning what Moses had commanded. It's not the pastor's responsibility to make sure your kids know the Word. That starts at home. Wake your kids up in the morning with the Word of God. Put your kids to bed at night with the Word of God. When you go out, take the Word of God with you. When you come in, teach them the Word of God. There were four times the Word of God was necessary to be learned. Going out, coming in, raising up, and laying down. The day I bought my house, the first thing I moved in was a small, what now would be an out-of-date, what they call an iHome. And I have an iPod first generation that I don't use for anything else. But I downloaded the New Testament on my iPod. And it has played in my home since I purchased it, since I got the keys. Within an hour of owning the house, I put that thing in my home. And there is nothing that I shut it off for except to read the Word of God. If I want to watch something, if I want to listen to something, if I want to talk to somebody about something, if I want to be involved in something, I've got to do it while the Word of God is playing in the background. That'd be good for some of you who don't know whether you can bring something into your home or whether you should get rid of it. If you feel ashamed to do it while the Word's playing, you probably shouldn't do it. You probably shouldn't be involved in it. There are things you can bring into your home that'll be a blessing to your home. But there is far more that creeps in unaware that will destroy your home. Let the Word of God come into your hearts. I was listening to the Word this morning. He was in the epistles and I was just listening to that deep growl voice. And I think the guy reading, his last name is maybe Duncan or something. He's got a great voice and he's just reading the word. It's just constantly and then infiltrating the atmosphere of my home. I sleep now better at my home than I did when I lived with my parents. And I just got peace. It's not that their house isn't peaceful. It's fantastic. But there's only been one night and God woke me up with a dream. And I think that's the one night I've woken up in the middle of the night since I moved in. And I have such peace. And some of you are dealing with turmoil in your home. I urge you to buy maybe just one CD or download two chapters of the Bible or get a free app and let that play over and over and over in your home. Protect your home with the Word of God. Go to bed, listen to the Word of God. Get up, listen to the Word of God. When you leave the home, turn it up louder and let the enemy that's trying to creep in listen to the Word of God. The enemy's not going to stay and listen to the truth. He's going to flee from it. Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. The verses I just read to you are what the Jews call the Shema. It's a prayer that they recite morning and evening. They wrote them. They talk about the frontlets of their eyes. They wrote them on three pieces of paper, if it were, in a small box. And they wore them on their head in a small box right here on the front. So that they never forgot the Word of God. They put them on the posts of their house. And they put them on the gates that they owned. They made sure that when you walked into what they possessed, you knew that was a one God home. Make sure, Dad, when some guest walks into your home or some stranger knocks on your door, that when you open the door, the presence of the Lord comes out of the house and they know there's something different lives in that dwelling right there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. If I knew nothing else growing up, my family, and especially my grandmother, Ella Mae Stark, would let me know, Jimmy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There are some of you mothers in here this morning that have had to take on the role because of outside influences and because of other people's choices. Hear me. My grandmother had an incredible influence on my life. She taught me in the ways of righteousness. And Mom, if you're doing it by yourself, keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. You can do it. You can make it. If you're struggling that your children aren't walking with God, find a mom in here who did it by herself and say, how'd you do it? Would you pray for me? Would you encourage me? I don't think I can make it another day, and let somebody put their hands of experience on you. The one that comes to mind, sorry here, Nita Underhill, thank you. I got a best friend and two great friends because you wouldn't quit when life got tough and when the storms came against the family that you raised. You got John back there. You got Russ over here. You got James, who's a licensed minister working at the church in Delaware, because you wouldn't quit. And I got a grandmother who raised a dad because my grandpa passed away when he was 12, but my grandmother instilled in my dad, boy, you aren't going to quit. You're not going to be a failure. And so, Mom, if you had to do it without Dad, you can do it. You can keep on going on, keep on pushing. We support you, Mom, if you've had to step into the role of Dad. A few months ago, Heidi had us over to her house for dinner, and the dinner was free, but we had to give up our cell phones for a couple of hours. That was not free. It forced us to actually interact face to face. We finished dinner. Our phones were still in a basket in the other room. All of us were having anxiety attacks and going through withdrawals and frustration. Jason was passed out on the living room floor. We finished dinner and Dad said, I want to talk to you all about something I found in the Bible. He spent a few minutes reading from the Word of God and then he went on to explain what he felt was so significant about the Scripture he'd read to us. My sisters and I are in our 30s. And Dad is still teaching us what God is saying. My niece is 13 years old. My nephew's going to be 10 a couple weeks. And my other niece is 6. And all 6 of us children sat in the room. Jason was in there too. All 7 of us children, my dad and mom, are sitting there listening to my dad teach us the ways of God. Make sure you never think your children get too old to hear from you what you find in the Word of God. It's such an encouragement. When my dad walks in my office, he puts his briefcase down and he says, "You'll never believe what I found in the Word of God today, Jimmy." It's an encouragement to me that though I'm old, my dad's going to never stop instilling the Word of God in me. Grandpa, teach your kids the Word of God. Grandma, support Grandpa when he stops and says, "Hey, Christmas isn't about the gifts. It's about the real story. And we ought to be thankful on Thanksgiving. And we ought to be this and we ought to be that through the holidays." Make sure we support our children and make sure we teach them in the ways of God. Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I will always be my dad's child, no matter how old he gets, no matter how old I get. And so it is his constant responsibility to train me so that when I am old, I will not depart from what he taught. Dad, your boy and your girl never outgrow needing the voice of wisdom. I read something this week that at about three or four or five, dad knows everything. When they get to 12, dad doesn't really know much. They get to about 15, dad doesn't have a clue what's going on. 17, 18, they don't want to hear from dad. 20, I can figure it out on my own. 25, wonder what dad would do. 30, I'll ask dad what he would do. 35, I'm not making a decision until I talk to dad about it. Let me help some young people in here. Help you skip some of those tough phases. Ask dad and take dad's godly advice through all of it. Save yourself some heartache and some headache. Ask dad no matter what age you get. Dad knows what he's talking about. Dad's been through it. Dad's seen it. Dad's seen it go well and dad's seen it fall apart. Let dad help you. If I would have preached this message in typical fashion, I would have taken this next portion of Scripture as my text, but kind of preached it backwards today based on how I felt. Genesis chapter number 6. Verse number 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. "The earth also was corrupted before God. And the earth was filled with violence." It sounds like the world we live in right now. This world is corrupt and full of violence. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth." Is that not incredible how relevant that is right now? The whole earth is corrupt in his own ways upon the earth. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." He's speaking to Noah here and he says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits and the breadth of it 50 cubits and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set and the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring forth a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. God said, Noah, I want you to build a place of safety because everything else is going to be destroyed because it's corrupt. Follow my directions, Noah, and build a place for you, your wife, your sons, and their wives to come in because I'm going to make a covenant with you. This whole world's going to be destroyed, but God made a covenant of safety. He said, repent of your sins and receive ye the gift of the Holy Ghost and be buried in the name in baptism. He wants to make a covenant with us. There's no safety outside of the covenant of God. The covenant of baptism is important. And if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, repented of your sins, and been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you are out of the covenant of safety that will keep you when this world is destroyed. God said, Noah, here's the blueprints of how to build an ark. Here's how you build the place of safety for your family. Here's what I want you to do to keep your family safe. If you'll follow my commandments, Noah, your boys, your daughter-in-laws, your wife, and you will all be saved. But Noah, it falls on your shoulders. Here's the blueprint. Now go build. Dad, there's a blueprint right here. God said, I've given every dad in this house and in this world a blueprint to build a place of safety for your family because this world's corrupt and it's going to be destroyed. Now, Dad, here's the blueprint. Go build a house of safety because when the storm comes and the floodwaters rise, there's going to be a place of covenant where your family can come in and be saved. Everything you need to know about how to raise a child is in this thing right here. Everything you need to know about what to teach them and what to keep them away from and what to tell them about, when to rejoice, when to correct, when to encourage, what to teach, when to teach, how to teach. It's all in the Word of God. How to build a house of safety, how to build a house of peace. It's all in the Word of God. Dad, here's the only blueprint to provide safety for your family when the world tries to bring its storm against your family. Dad, the complete instruction book before this world self-destructs is before you this morning. And if you're not in this instruction book, you're going to make a mistake of what you build and how you build, where you build, who you let in. God only promised to save those people right there. What if Noah would have said, everybody, come on. I've heard it preached. But God said, this is safety for your family, Noah. This is the godly people that I'm going to save. And those were the people that walked out of the ark after the flood. There's a rapture coming, Dad. And the people that you want to go to heaven and the people you're responsible for are the ones that are in covenant, that grew up in your household, that you're responsible for, that God's given you the blueprint to build a safe place for them. Teach your children about God. Teach them how to pray and take them to pray. Teach them about fasting and fast with them. Teach them to build altars and build altars with them. Genesis chapter number 22. Abraham takes Isaac to sacrifice and Abraham says, the lad and I will go yonder to worship. Someplace we got out of kilter. Abraham never said, Sarah, take Isaac to worship. I'll be at home. Abraham said, that boy and I are going to go worship. I'm going to go teach that boy how to build an altar, even if I got to put him on it based on the Word of God. Sarah was at home, and Abraham was teaching Isaac how to build an altar. Dad, don't send your family to church and find a reason not to go, because quickly your children will find a reason not to go to church with mom. There is no blessing in missing out on the presence of God with your family. Telling your children what to do and teaching your children what to do are separate things, and they both have separate results. Being a godly father doesn't guarantee godly children. The prophet Eli was permissive with Hophni and Phinehas, but he was not absent with Hophni and Phinehas. He was there to see them make all the mistakes, and there are perils of the prophet's sons. Samuel, the prophet's sons, didn't turn out much better than Eli's. David, his firstborn, raped his own sister. Absalom usurped David's throne and slept with his wives. Adonijah usurped his brother's throne, Solomon, against the will of God. Solomon violated every law God made for a king. In addition to worshiping idols, Solomon violated every element of this warning. Dad, stay involved in your kids' lives. Don't be permissive when your kids do things against the word of God. How much different would Israel's results been or life been after Eli if he would have restrained Hophni and Phinehas, but he refused to restrain his sons. All the dads, please stand. All the fathers in here. It's coming, Zach. You can do it. There's a lot of you in here that are facing uncertainties. But dads, let me tell you something this morning. You can absolutely do it. You can make it. You've maybe made mistakes. There's maybe regrets. There's maybe times you've had to go and ask your children to forgive you for things you've done and said. But hear me right now. He's a good father to forgive. You've got to forgive yourself. Don't let yesterday's decisions affect tomorrow. Don't let yesterday's scars dictate tomorrow's victories. I was running yesterday, and we had been talking about life and death decisions on Wednesday nights. And I talked to you Wednesday night about scars. The thought came to me, scars tell you what I've been through, not where I'm going to. And so if there are scars in your family, they are about yesterday. They are not dictating tomorrow. They might remind you of yesterday, but they don't have to tell you where to go tomorrow. So dads, no matter what it's been like till now, you can make it. We absolutely need you to teach us diligently. No matter how old we get, never stop teaching us. No matter how no matter how smart it looks we've gotten, we have still got to have you. No matter how wise you think we are, Dad, we've still got to have you involved in our lives. You all stand together. Dad, I love each and every one of you, and I believe in you. Pastor does the same. He asked me this morning what I was teaching or preaching, and I told him, and he said he was sorry he wasn't here today. I miss my dad on Father's Day. There are some of you without your dad, and some of you that have to grow up and make it on your own. My dad is an incredible example of a man who had a father until he was 12. And life has dealt him sorrow and grief. He didn't choose to lose his dad at 12, but it happened. But it didn't mean my dad chose not to have children because he didn't think he had an example worth following. He's done an absolutely fantastic job. And Dad, if you've been able to tune in, I sure love you. I appreciate you. Let's all come to the front this morning, especially if your family is within reach. Why don't you bring your family? Mark, if you'll just sing this morning. If you can put your hands on your family today. Do it. Come all the way up. If there's people standing alone and you want to adopt somebody, bring them into the family. But I want you to pray for your family today specifically. That's it, Remco. All the way up. We got people standing in behind you. Come on, come on, come on. We're all the way up. This is a good prayer zone right here. Dads who have lived godly lifestyles and your children are not walking the paths of righteousness, I want to help you right now. Jesus poured daily into Judas for 3.5 years. And Judas turned and went to the tree to hang himself instead of the cross. He went a different direction, even though he'd spent 3.5 years under the words of the Almighty, the Master, Jesus Christ. Dad, if your children aren't with you today, don't give up hope. Jesus reached for Judas all the way. Don't stop reaching for your children. Don't give up. Don't stop. There's hope for everybody. There's hope for every person. Jesus knows exactly where everybody is right now. As they start to sing, would you, dads, just put your hand on your family. Family, put your hand on dad. Pray a blessing on dad right now, on fathers. There ought to be a voice of prayer rising in the house of the Lord this morning. An opportunity for influence and impartation this morning of prayer.
You hold my world in your hand.